On ABC local radio, it's time to talk health and fitness, and we do that with Gordon Lynch. Professor Gordon Lynch from the University of Melbourne. He's head of physiology department there. Gordon, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Rod.
Today, it's something that most people do not want to face, but of course it is inevitable, and that is getting older and understanding how your body changes as you get older, and maybe if you've been exercising your whole life, having to change your style of exercise because you're getting older and your body can't do what it used to do, or maybe you want to get into it for the first time.
Yeah, a few choices, and my hope is, I don't want this to sound like a description of all that's bad and doom and gloom and something, because we just have to, I think there are certain health challenges that face all of us, and we can delay wanting to know about this for as long as possible. Like for when I teach about aging to young students at the university, I mean, it's a pretty difficult message to sell, because if you think back to when you were that age, you feel invincible. You think, well, he's talking about other things that are never going to affect me. And then, sure enough, with the ravages of time, there are major changes to the body's anatomy and physiology, and has major, a major impact upon how we live our lives. So definitely, with advances in medicine and technology, engineering and so forth, we're living longer. My contention is always, are we living any better? And we can extend our lifespan perhaps, or live longer. Are we necessarily living the quality of life that we should? And what are the reasons for that, and what can we do about it? So I thought I'd describe some of the things that go wrong, but also a positive message about, hopefully, about prevention and never being too late to start intervening.
Okay, but as you get older, what are the first signs that you are getting older?
If you just look in the mirror, or you look at a photograph of yourself when you were younger. So I'm in my early 50s now. I think back, I think I was in that invincible state. Now things creak a bit. I train regularly, as everyone knows, but I train around injuries more often because I've got perhaps sore elbows, or I can't do a particular exercise. You start to know that there's wear and tear. You know that there are changes happening in terms of the muscle mass, in terms of your joints, in terms of even the way that your, hopefully not too much, but in terms of your brain function and forgetfulness and those sorts of things. And there are various signs that we can look for. And it's not to say that we're going to get all of these things, but it's just certain sort of signposts to think, well, I need to take care of this aspect of my body, this aspect, and so on. And it can, I know, sound quite overwhelming, but there are certain things that we can do to intervene and not necessarily stop the effects of aging, but potentially slow down these processes.
That's right, because some people, as they head into their 70s, honestly look and act 20 years younger.
Yeah, and I think that's the wonderful part. If we can, it's not, I think we can often feel, and I talk about the negative sides just then, but most of the time I feel the same way I did when I was in my 20s. And maybe it may be a delusion, but I certainly feel healthy. I'm very lucky. I'm very fortunate. And I don't ever take that for granted. And I think that's, I look at even much older people than me, and I think, gee, I'm just impressed by just the attitude. And I think that's the important thing. They looked after themselves, and their outlook on life is a very positive one. And it's easy to say that. I know there are various situations, and sometimes I get criticised for portraying a fairy tale scenario about how we should be living our lives, and that's not the case. There are certain guidelines that we should try and adopt as best we can. And I know that our lives are busy and other things, but there are some simple things that we can do to put the odds in our favour, shall we say, to try and live a longer life and a healthier life and a more functional life.
But many people have chronic health conditions that really there's not a lot they can do about. And yes, what you're saying is going to help some people. It's not going to help everyone, is it?
No, it's not. And if we think about, 80% of older adults, say 50 years and older, you'll suffer from at least one chronic health condition. Now, it sounds dramatic. But, think about diabetes, the prevalence of diabetes or arthritis or heart conditions or lung conditions and so on. The odds are stacked against us that when we reach a certain age, we're likely to be facing one or more of those particular problems. So that's facing reality. But I also think that we can push those odds a little bit more favourable, in a more favourable way, if we can say living a more healthy lifestyle by not smoking, by being more active in the way that we live our lives, in terms of the food choices we make. All those sorts of things are very important, and I think they can help us slow down the rate at which they happen. I think the reality is, yes, we're going to get older. The reality is we're not going to be able to stop ageing from happening, or the biological processes that occur that end up a different sort of anatomy and physiology later in life. But we can certainly slow things down if we try and adopt more of a healthy lifestyle.
Okay, so let's talk about one of the first signs that people might notice as they get older is their brain does not work the way that it used to. Maybe you can't think of the right word. Maybe you forgot where you put your keys or whatever. That's something that a lot of people deal with, and a lot of people then are concerned that it might progress to be something worse.
The speed at which we process information, we get perhaps more distracted as we get older. We have a sort of reduced level of to remember new information and so on, and in if it extends to the degree that we're talking about now, if it goes into some form of dementia like Alzheimer's disease and so on, that's going to have a dramatic effect. But there is a normal level of forgetfulness that comes into this. So I was prompted to do this particular topic. There was an article in this health and fitness journal that I get from the American College of Sports Medicine, and they really laid out some of these particular things, and the brain drain was high on the list. And I think it's just some simple things we can think of, and just forgetting the keys occasionally or whatever, that's just the normal part of aging. It's the other signs we need to consider. If it gets beyond that, and other people need to be watching out for us as well, because it could be a safety issue as well.
Your eyes start to not work the way that they used to. And for me, it began just by needing reading glasses occasionally, then kind of reading glasses all the time. And maybe it's because you're looking at screens every day. What about the eyesight problems?
Yeah, I mean, certainly as we get older, there's a loss of an ability to see objects up close, or the small print that you talk about. Our eyes may be more sensitive to light or temperature, and then we may develop cataracts or those sorts of things. I think there are major things we need to consider in terms of the eye health, and it can be a very costly thing as well, because if you think about vision problems and corrective glasses, but potentially corrective surgeries and so on, it can be a very expensive thing. So I think we look at our vision as one of those things, as one of the signs of saying, I need glasses, or I need to get something checked out here. But our eye health is just an important part of our overall health, thinking about the quality of life that we lead and that functional independence.
You're with Rod Quinn. This is ABC Local Radio, as we look at some of the things that you might be concerned about as you get older. So your brain might not be working as fast as it used to. Your eyesight not as good as it used to. You can't hear as well as you used to as well. What can you do about it, though?
Yeah, I don't think there's much that you can do about many of these things. If one in three people older than 65 are experiencing some form of hearing loss, it only increases as people get older. And so our physiological systems start to wear out because there's not a replacement of the cells that were there when we were younger to enable us to function the way that we did. And there may be ways we can intervene later in terms of developments of different therapies and so on. For the time being, I think we've got to try and have hearing tests. We can get hearing aids. There are things that can assist us in terms of improving our hearing. And I just think it's just a greater awareness. But it's also a safety factor too that I've become more aware of, in terms of my hearing has never been fantastic, to be perfectly honest. And I'm very sort of mindful of that, and thinking as I get older I need to be just more aware. So this is just about raising awareness about certain things and knowing that there are certain things that we can do about them. And exercise and lifestyle will go a certain way, but it's not going to stop certain things from happening. And it's often a reality check to know, yes, we are getting older and we have to face that.
What about eating and digestion? Is that a sign that things are starting to head south, you might say?
Yeah, I think I take this from the teeth and gums all the way through to the digestion, you know, in terms of our ability to process foods, if our metabolism is slowed, if we suffer from reflux or constipation, or if we develop ulcers and so on. Just the teeth and gums as an example, our oral health, it's so critical. And often we take it for granted in terms of retaining our teeth. But if we think that, you know, a quarter of the adults over 60 or will have, you know, will lose their natural teeth. That's a huge figure. And we're very lucky, I think, to have community-wide fluoride programs for our water, and that's had a major effect. And a lot of us are retaining our teeth for a lot longer with good dental care and so on. But it's also, you know, the tooth decay, gum disease, and it's a fascinating thing to think that bacteria from your gums can end up in your heart, it can end up in your joints, in linking cardiovascular diseases and arthritic conditions and so on, joint problems, to simple fixing the teeth and gums has a dramatic effect on even joint problems and other things. And the link between these inflammatory conditions is something that we've learnt more over the last 15 or so years. There is a direct link between controlling levels of inflammation in one part of the body and experiencing pain and discomfort in another. And I think, you know, correcting that inflammatory problem in those different areas has a dramatic effect on overall health. And so that's an awareness issue, both from the teeth and gums through to the digestion and so on. But there are things that we can do about it, and oral health and dental care can go a long way to not just preserving the teeth and gums, but also reducing the incidence of many other inflammatory conditions.
As people always say, you look after your teeth, they'll look after you. There's a reason for that. Now, one of the other parts of your body that maybe, again, is a sign of you getting older is your skin. Maybe it becomes a little less elastic. There seems to be a little bit more of it than there used to be. Maybe it's the marks on it, liver spots and the like, I think they call them. So, you know, what can you do about that?
Well, I mean, there's not much we can do about the general changes in our skin as we get older. The skin gets thinner. We certainly, it loses its elasticity. And there are changes in the musculature, the underlying musculature is thinning, so it seems to be looser. But if we, from a preventive standpoint, if we take care of our skin when we're younger, and you know, lessen the chances of it getting damaged by sunlight, you know, avoiding excessive exposure, you know, smoking's been a big factor in terms of our skin health and so on. So there are certain life choices that we can do to try and slow down the rate at which those processes occur and hopefully preserve that elasticity for as long as possible. But again, I think, you know, this is a massive tissue, a massive organ that's serving as a barrier to many other things. We need to try and look after our skin as best we can, and I think that the prevention thing is a major factor to preserving it.
Even if it's only some kind of moisturiser or skin cream might help. And then finally, well, two things here. One is your feet and the other one is balance and falls. We've talked about that in the past. We'll talk about that in a moment. But your feet, you've got to look after your feet. If you can't stand up, you're not going to have a very happy life as you get older.
And I think they do go, I think the wrong sort of analogy, hand in hand, because they are very well linked, because your ability to stand properly, if you've got foot pain, if you've got some sort of foot disorder, you know, bunions or corns or you know ingrown toenails, and heel pain is a major factor for many people. That's going to affect the way that you can distribute your weight, and that will affect your balance. So I think they do go together. So looking after your feet, something simple as that, so regularly taking care of your nails and feet, foot hygiene is going to be a major factor, taking care of those particular issues, and then recognizing that falls are a major cause of disability and mortality. If we, you know, our recovery following falls is often not good. So if we can think about balance and ways we can work on improving our balance to prevent falls or lessen the impact of falls, that's going to be a huge influence over our longer-term health and functional capacity and our ability to live a longer life. So balance is going to be influenced, but not just by the muscles. So I always talk about making sure that your muscles and working on those muscles which can react quickly and you know, hold your stance and so on. But it's also awareness, kinesthetic awareness. It's about reflexes. It's about your vision. It's about your hearing. It's all these factors together which influence your ability to not just stand, but to walk, to negotiate obstacles. And if you slip, that you're able to recover quickly and prevent what might be a catastrophic fall. So I think all of those things, they are health challenges facing all of us, but particularly as we get older, we have to face facts about the reality of aging, and I never dismiss that. I think we have to embrace those things and think about how best we can cope, but our outlook is critical for this, Rod, and thinking about how we can meet those challenges. And I always would say, and I know you would have guessed what I was going to say next about exercise. Yes, it's indeed. Certainly one way that we can go about trying to slow down the rate at which these things occur, preserving our muscle mass, preserving our bone health, thinking about good nutrition, thinking about rest and recovery and sleep quality and all these factors that go into this equation which equals good health. And if we can do that, then I think we can face these inevitable changes a lot better, recover from them if we're afflicted by them, and then ideally preserve our capacity to live independently for as long as possible, because that's very closely linked to our quality of life as we get older.
Okay, this has been our longest conversation ever.
Oh!
How about that?
An important topic, and one I know which is, you know, I've received many requests to do things about health challenges for older adults. It was fortuitous that I was giving lectures this week about aging to the younger folk, and I think I reckon I can get a very good reception from people that would really appreciate what they're facing currently, but what they can do about it.
All right. Well, maybe in weeks to come, we'll also return to some of these with some really specific ideas about what can be done. But Gordon, thanks very much for that. Talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.